Everybody's there, Genesis chapter number 3. I'm going to begin the reading in verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." See that old serpent. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Father, Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. Lord, we need you. We can't do anything without you. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help our hearts today, Lord. I pray that we'd take something from this message, Lord, it'd be a help. Lord, help us to serve you better, Lord. And I pray that you'd save the lost, dear Lord. And I just pray that you'd go with us during this time, Lord, and show us something out of your word that'd be a help and a blessing, Lord. We'll give you the honor and praise for it, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about your friendly enemy. Your friendly enemy. I want to read a couple verses. You don't have to turn here, but 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 3 says, "But Amnon had a friend." Amnon had a friend. You know what happened? That friend of Amnon led him to do something wicked and deceitful, and it messed his life up. You know what the Lord said to Judas? And Matthew 26, 50, and Jesus said unto him, "Friend, friend, wherefore art thou come?" A friend. You know what? Sometimes it's the people that's the very closest to you that give you the most trouble. That's just how life is. You know what? I was watching Discovery Channel one time, and I saw this black widow spider. And this black widow, you know what? I didn't know why they called it a black widow. But she killed her mate. Well, you know what happens? That's a picture of a friendly enemy. And you know what happens? Oftentimes we have to be real careful about who we're friends with. Why? Because a lot of times it's the folks close to you that try to destroy you. Or a lot of times maybe they're not trying to destroy you. They just destroy you just because they're on a bad path and you get on the same path with them. That's why it's very important for us to get close to folks who really love the Lord. Why? Because they really love you. Y'all, a lot of folks say they love you, really don't love you. A lot of folks say they want to see you do well, really don't want to see you do well. Let me tell you this right here. If somebody won't point you to the Lord Jesus Christ and doesn't point you to that which is good, they really don't love you. They can say they love you, but they really don't love you. The devil will come to you with a false love mentality that's taught in this world today. And I'm going to tell you, that thing right there is deceptiveness of the devil. A lot of times, that's why I call him your friendly enemy. The devil is not going to come to you like a lot of people, they think he's red and he's got these little horns and he's got this spandex on. He's got this little pitchfork, you know. And that's not the devil, y'all. The devil's not going to come to you like that. The devil's going to come to you and he's going to be influencing somebody who is real close to you who says they love you. That's what he's going to do. Now, I'm not telling you to look for the devil under every bush, but I'm telling you, is that one that's there with you and you're friends with, do they really love, if they love the Lord, they can really love you. But I can tell you something, if you're around folks and they don't love the Lord, they can't really love you. Why? They'll love you with a fleshly love. If somebody who will come to church with you, somebody who will read the Bible with you, somebody who will pray with you, that's the folks you better be close to. Why? These other folks, they'll lead you off in the ditch without even realizing they're leading you off in the ditch. Why? Because they're headed to the ditch and they're blind. Y'all, this world right here is just the blind leading the blind. They're both going to fall in the ditch, like the Lord said. I want to show you some things here, right here in the text. I hope it'll be a help to you that you can see about the way the devil works. And guess what happens? You'll learn how the way the devil works and the world works and the flesh works. If you see how he works in the beginning, you can see how all the rest of why everything else is following him. So you can learn a lot by these things. I want you to notice, number one, he's deceptive in verse number one. I want you to see first under his deception is how he appears. how he appears. Notice he's called a serpent there. In verse number 1, he appears there and the Bible calls him a serpent. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4? As the serpent beguiled Eve. That's how he beguiled her, through his subtlety. You know how he's going to beguile you? By being subtle to you. He's not going to come to you in something that you think's real bad. The devil will tempt. He didn't tempt Adam and Eve to fall down. He tempted them to be as God's knowing. He tempted them to do something that was good. You know what happens? The devil will get you to settle for good instead of for that which is best and in the will of God. You'll do something good. For instance, he'll get the church going off in the humanitarian age without getting them the gospel.
That's right.
He'll get the church involved in all kind of social reform and helping the world be a better place. Let me tell you something here. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you can turn over a new leaf and turn over a new leaf until you got a whole bag full of leaves. It's not going to do any good unless you got the Lord Jesus Christ getting his preeminence. It's a good thing, maybe a good thing. But that don't mean it's the best thing for you. The devil will get you through his subtlety, and he's called subtle there all through the Bible. Now, I ran that thing on my Bible out there, and there's a couple times that the word subtle is mentioned in the Bible. And we're going to go over that here in a minute, but it points to the devil. But I want to show you something in Romans chapter 7. Hold your place there in Genesis, and I want to show you something in Romans chapter 7 about sin. Now, this is one thing about sin you got to keep in your mind. Sin appears just as its author appears. You're going to find something out about sin right here in the text that it'll trick you. It tricks me and it'll trick you. That's why you got to be real careful about this thing. Why? Sin, its author is the devil. So you can watch how the devil is and see how sin is, and you can see how to stay away from it. What am I trying to do here this morning? I'm trying to warn you. Why? Because nowadays, nobody's being warned. Everybody's just going right off in how they want to do, and nobody's saying anything about anything. Why? Because they're so politically correct, they're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, sometimes you need your feelings hurt. The truth is the truth, whether it hurts your feelings or not.
Amen.
I can tell you something. You know something about this preacher? If y'all find something wrong there, just come there and ask me about it. You know why? I'm not right. The Bible's right. If I go outside the Bible's right and the preacher's wrong. You know what happens? If you get to where you're not scared of truth, it'll help you in your life.
Amen.
One of the things that helped me so much as far as me reading the Bible is when I got to the place I said, Lord, no matter what truth, if that truth contradicts the way I'm living or the way I was taught and the way so-and-so believed and the way they... Look, Lord, I want what you want. And we ever get that way right there, he can show us something.
Amen.
But otherwise, we're going to measure things by our own preconceived notions, and that Bible will be a lost book to you. Let me tell you something. That Bible's not a Baptist book. It's not a Methodist book. It's not a Presbyterian book. It's the Bible. It's God's Word. If it contradicts the way you believe, the way God says is right, not the way you believe. Well, I just always believed it. Sin will get you, y'all. I'm telling you. Watch this. Romans 7, verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, watch this, deceive me. That Bible said sin deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law was holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, watch this, that it might appear sin. Do you see that? Sin does not appear sinful. It says sin that it might appear sin. It doesn't appear sinful. Y'all, there's a whole lot of things in this world that's not going to appear sinful to you. That's why if you look at it the way you look at it, instead of the way God looks at it, it's not going to look like sin to you. There's going to be things come up in your life, and I don't know what, but I can tell you this right here. You're going to come up and you're going to say, hey man, that's all right there. You know what? There's a lot of things that may not be sin in themselves. For instance, golf. Some of these people talk about golf. I don't know how they do that. But anyway, they like golf. Is there a sin in golf? No, it's not a sin in golf. But if you're golfing when you should be serving God, that's a sin. Amen. Nothing wrong with fishing. I believe every man ought to fish a little bit when you get a chance. And I ain't had a chance in years. But one of these days, if I get a chance, I'd like to fish. But if you're fishing when you ought to be fishing for souls, it's sin. Nothing wrong with working. But if you're working when you should be serving God, it's a sin. You see how the devil is? I'm doing good. There's nothing wrong with working. But if you're working when you should be serving God, it's a sin. It's got why God gets the preeminence in all things. Y'all, we've got to get to the place when something comes into our mind, we say, what does God think about that? How is God's thoughts about that? What does the Bible say about it? Why? Because that's your rule book. You know what? I've told you this before, but people live like practical atheists today. You go out and you talk to people about things, about the Bible, and they can't give you a Bible verse on what they believe for nothing in this world. They'll say, well, you know, my church teaches so-and-so. Well, what's the church teach? Well, they teach what I teach. What do y'all teach? We teach the same thing. Y'all, they don't know, come here from Sikkim. Why? Because they hadn't even looked it up in the Bible. Y'all, that Bible's got, you can look that thing up in that Bible. And sin will appear sin if we look at it through the lens God's gave us to look at. Otherwise, you're just going to go through this world and you say, well, I'm just doing what I think's best. Well, what you think's best may not be best in God's eyes. Now, sin is the devil's tool, it's his trap, and it's his temptation. The devil will use a sin to tempt you to get close to God, so to speak. You're going to be as gods. Well, guess what? They already were walking in with the Lord in the cool of the day. Y'all, you know what's going to happen? You may have something going on so good right now. You may have a good relationship with somebody. You may have a good friendship. You may have a good job. You may have a good, something good's going on right now. You know what the devil's going to do? The devil's going to come in there and say, do you really got it like you really need it right now? Is everything going really well right now? And you're going to get to thinking, well, I may need to go out here and do so-and-so over here. And the grass is always green on the other side. But let me tell you something. You get to looking at that grass that's on the other side. Most of the time, that green grass is right over a septic tank. I found that out. I can tell you something else, too. You see the grass is greener on the other side. It's because the bill is higher, too. I can tell you something right now. Most of these folks don't realize. They get to think, well, if I had it over here, it may be just a little bit better. You get over there and you're going to find out it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you. The Lord's got you. If you're serving Him, you're where you ought to be in serving Him. Now, here's the thing. That's how He appears. He appears as a serpent, and He's subtle. And some people pronounce it subtil. I don't know which one's right, but I call it subtle. Verse number one, you'll see there that he was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now, you know what you're going to find in that Bible? There's some subtle people in the Bible. Don't turn here, but I want to give you this verse here. 2 Samuel 13:3 says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. He was subtle. Now, while I'm telling you about Jonadab, are these folks here, turn over to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, hold your place there. I want to show you some of these things. I hope it'll be a help to you. But what I'm trying to tell you is this right here. The devil, you may have somebody good in your life, but you know what? The devil will try to bring somebody else over. Adam already had Eve. But the devil will try to bring somebody else over here in your life that's going to try to sway you away from somebody trying to get you close to God. Adam's over here walking with the Lord with Eve, and they were getting close to God. And guess what happened? Up pops the devil. You know what happens? You're going to be in a place where you're trying to serve God and you're trying to get your family to do right and maybe do right in your own life and things. You know what's going to happen? When you're doing right, that's whenever the devil's going to try to come in and mess that thing up. I'm telling you right now, you got to be watching that thing. Why? Prepare now before it happens. You say, well, that's not happening in my life now. Yeah, so you can prepare for it. Why? Because as soon as you get a good thing going, I'm telling you right now, the devil's going to try to come in and tear that thing up. Amen. Adam and Eve had it made in the garden. And the devil says, but that one tree, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to come in your life and say, that one thing that you don't have, that's the thing you really need. And that's the thing that they didn't need. The devil's going to try to come in there and get you now. And he'll use a friend like Amnon. Now, in Proverbs chapter number 7 there, I want you to see this is the courtship of sin. I want you to see a couple things here about this subtlety here. Or subtlety. Now, this courtship of sin is mentioned from verse 6 to verse 23. Paragraph mark to paragraph mark in your Bible. That's 18 verses. I think that's very interesting. Alright. So it says this. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, watch this, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. They do things when it's nighttime outside. Alright, and they still do that today.
And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. They got that certain attire on. They still do the same thing today. They wear little or nothing. Y'all, these folks, these girls go around today, well, it look like they got a shirt on. That's it. Walking in a gas station. Y'all, it's pitiful. I mean, it really is pitiful. Put some clothes. I think I ought to put some clothes on. All right, and that says this. It says, the attire of a harlot, and watch this, and subtle of heart. Now, I want you to see what the subtle of heart does. It says this, she is loud and stubborn. I know a lot of that right there goes on. You got to hear me speak. If not, they can cut you off and everything else. And you got to hear me talk now is what I say is important. All right. Now watch this. And her feet abide not in her house. She's always gone all the time. Never. They never stay home. Now watch this. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Now look, one person can't be at every corner. He's showing you how it's all over the place. Sin is all over the place. Subtlety is all over the place. Now watch this. She caught him. So she caught him and kissed him. See, there's that affection. See, the devil will use affection. False affection. Just like Judas kissed Jesus. He didn't mean it. Look, y'all, when folks are around you, you be careful of people who are using false affection. We just love you, you know. If you don't love somebody, don't tell them you love them. Well, if you really don't love them, don't tell them then. If you're really not having a great day, don't say, I'm having a great day. Y'all, it's okay, y'all. We a lot of times, now don't get me wrong. You don't have to just go, it's just terrible today. But you got to have a balance on this thing. You see what I'm saying? What's happening is this right here. We got folks, and you know, and we're tempted to do it. We'll come through here, and somebody say, how you doing? Oh, man, it's wonderful. And you walk off. Well, you're not doing wonderful. Be careful about false. Don't be false. Just be real with people. But the devil will get somebody around you that's false around you. Amen. Why? They're trying to hem you in. Watch this. It says, so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have, watch this, peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. You know what the peace offerings are? If you'll look in Deuteronomy 12, 5 through 12, you don't have to go there. But that's the least costly sacrifice there was with the peace offerings. The devil will come in there and the devil will say, if you just get what you want right now, if you don't have to wait on it, don't wait on the Lord now, get what you want right now, you'll have peace. Let me tell you something. When they say peace, peace, sudden destruction cometh upon them, you know what you're going to find out? The devil will offer you something right now. He said, if you'll eat of this tree, you can have the knowledge right now. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you don't need that stuff right now. Amen. You need to wait. You need to wait on the Lord till the time is right. Why? Because if you don't, the devil can get you to rush into a decision. And when he gets you to rush into a decision, he'll mess you up. He's religious. She's offering peace offering. She don't know the Lord. She's just offering peace offering. What I'm telling you is this, folks.
Amen.
The devil will get you, he'll get you tempted and make you think that you've got to make a decision on something right then. Be careful of that attitude. Why? Because look, folks, we got to take our time about things. You need to take time and pray about things. You need to take time and ask the Lord, Lord, is this the direction you want me to go? No, the devil will get you to go too fast. The devil will get you to take a job before you're supposed to take a job. The devil will get you to take a church before you're supposed to take a church. The devil will get you to take all these things before time. Well, they can be a good thing, but if you don't go the right place, that's like, thank God, thank God. Thank God that I've waited in times of my life. Why? I look back now. And I said, Lord, Lord, if I had gone that way, if I had went that way, my. Why? Because hindsight, you can see. That's why now, right now, check the road that you're on, the right road to lead to the right place. And remember this, duties never conflict. You say, Lord, I've got two ways to go. I don't know which way to go. Okay, your duties will never conflict. God will never tell you to do one job when that job will conflict with something else He's told you to do. You got to remember that. Why? Because the devil will say, no, no, you can go that way. You can do all that at the same time. I can tell you something. We'll get so much on our own self we can't handle it. Why? I'm the world's worst about that. The Lord knoweth our frame. He knows how much you can handle. But guess what? We don't. We just keep piling things on. And before long, can't get nothing done.
Amen.
Y'all, that's the devil trying to get you to do that stuff. He'll be religious about it too. He'll use some carnal Christian at church. And they'll come up and say, I know what you need to do, sister. No, you don't either. Why? Because if you're not going to pray with me about it and you're not going to show me a Bible verse about it, you're going to point me to your own flesh. And y'all, you got to be careful about that stuff. I'm trying to tell you, He'll get you with that stuff. Now, there's the courtship of sin. Now, I want to show you something else too He does. He perverts the Scriptures.
Now, back in Genesis 3, you're going to see, watch him as he perverts Scripture. Now, what he'll do is, he plants doubt and he'll give you another definition. Satan comes and taketh away the word. I'm going to read a verse while you turn it back to Genesis. Mark 4:15 says, "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." I'm going to tell you something. He's more powerful than you give him credit for. Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all, he taketh the word that was sown in your heart. You know what happened? You'll hear a sermon and a verse will come in and say, "Man, that's going to be a help right there. Thank the Lord I saw it." And you know what the devil do? "Yea, hath God said." Now you think that's really going to help you? You think that's really going to matter? You think that's really true? He says yea. He's yes first. He's positive first. He perverts those scriptures and he adds to them and takes away from them. And you got that stuff going on today. I'm going to tell you, I feel sorry for these people nowadays who have put education over the Lord. They say, "Well, so-and-so's educated." I'm going to tell you something. You know what the Bible says in Psalms 33:4? "For the Lord, the word of the Lord is right and all his works are done truth." You know what they'll do? I've heard them. They'll get up there and just say, you know, and they don't realize the devil's using them to do it. They say, "You know, the Bible says, but it really should say." You better watch that crazy person. Why? You ask him. I've heard them. They'll say, "Well, the Greek and the Hebrew and all this stuff." Let me tell you something there. Ask that guy, "Can you read the McDonald's menu in Greek?" I've got a Texas Receptus right here in my library. If you will, show me which one's the front and which one's the back. You know what? They read from the right to the left. Your back of the Bible is the front of the Bible in that Greek and Hebrew Bible. Most people, the Greek says this right, and he turned that thing upside down, everything. He's trying to read it. Let me tell you something. You better be careful about that stuff. I'm not saying some of them guys aren't smart, but I'm telling you this right here. Some of them too smart for their own good. Why? You've got a world nowadays, and they're instead of saying, in the pulpits of the past, you hear a man get up there and hit thunder, "Thus saith the Lord, and the word of God says, and the Bible says," and so, and now they say, they're getting up there and they're just as dull as a butter knife. And they get up there, "You know, the Bible says over there, I can't remember the verse now, but it should say," and y'all, they just bore you to death. You know why? Because they don't have the fire in them. Right. Y'all, you've got a generation nowadays of people. Y'all, that Bible's exciting. I'm excited to be able to stand here and tell you about a risen, living Savior and somebody that can help you in your everyday life. Amen. And you got people up here and they'll take 30 minutes of your hard-earned time to tell you what the Bible should have meant in that text. That makes me mad. I know enough now. Somebody say, "Well, you know any Greek and Hebrew?" I know just enough to be dangerous. And I know just enough now to take that man and say, "Let me show you something. You just contradicted a verse over here. And you just contradicted a verse over here. Now what are you doing?" You know what they do? They'll say, "Well, the Greek should say," you know what you ask them? "Where'd you get that definition at?" "Well, Thayer says this." "Well, was Thayer saved?" You don't even see, most people don't even know who Thayer. You know what these people are just getting a definition. They'll look that word up and there's 10 definitions. They say, "I like that definition, and I'll just put it right there." I call it the Greek game. Most of them don't even know how to say most of those words. What I'm telling you is the devil will get in there and he'll make you not believe that word right there. What I'm telling you is, y'all, remember, you've got the Word of God in your lap. You take that Word of God and you read that and you talk to the Lord about these things. Why? Amen. Have a relationship. Y'all, I don't have a religion. I got a relationship with the Lord. I want to see y'all have a relationship. Let me tell you something to help you. You and your spouse get together and y'all read a passage of Scripture together before you go to sleep or in the mornings, and y'all pray together. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all pray together. Y'all, that old saying, "A couple that prays together stays together," is so true. Why? It's good for her to hear what's on your heart. Hey, let her hear you pray for her. Let her hear you say, "Lord, we need some help." Why? To see what's on the inside of that heart right there. Let me tell you something. It'll build your relationship like you've never seen before. You know what's going on? Most people are too scared to do it. Why? Because you got to be humble. You got to get down on your knees and you got to get humble. I'm going to tell you something. It helps us to get humble. The old saying is, you better be humble or you'll stumble. The devil will play on your pride. We'll see that. We got to get together. We got to start. I'm going to tell you something. This nation needs prayer. The very fact that what we're seeing on the news nowadays, and folks are shooting everybody, and we say, "Well, we just keep going on our everyday life." What I'm telling you is that folks need prayer. These kids need prayed for, y'all. I'm telling you, this world is coming apart at the seams, man. And people are just mindlessly going off just every day, just like nothing's going on. Just falling apart. I'm telling you, it ought to bother us.
He perverts the scriptures and he gives you another definition. In verse number 1, he said, "Yea, hath God said." And in verse 4, he said, "Ye shall not surely die." You see what he did? He planted a doubt and then he gave another definition. That's what men do in the pulpits today. Our pulpits are polluted with that junk. He said, "What do you say about it, Brother Chase?" I'll tell him about it if I hear. I'll get up and walk out and say, "You ain't preaching." Now here's another thing. Not only is he deceptive, he's destructive. Now listen to this. He turns the innocent into sinners. Y'all, this is so important. I'm telling you this why. Adam and Eve were in the garden and they were innocent. They were in that garden. They were innocent and just like a child. You know what he did? He perverted them. You know what's going on in this world today? These little children are coming up and the devil is using the television, that glass toilet, and he's using that devil music to corrupt their minds and other kind of stuff. Somebody say, "Wayne, you're going too far on that." I'm going to tell you something. You go home and that old rap music that people are listening to, these young people are going after so much, you print those lyrics off and let's read them at church then if they're all right. I can tell you something. I printed a few of them off and I started to read some of them at church for you, but it was so embarrassing. I said, "There's no way that's coming out of this pulpit." Why? It's full of the devil. And you know what's happening? They're talking about drinking, and they're talking about, I don't even want to say it. They're talking about illicit activity. And you know what happens? They go off and do those things. You know what the devil does? The devil laughs about it.
Amen.
Our society, we're living in a place where innocence is being corrupted. You know what tears me up? To see a beautiful little child. Beautiful little child sitting on the front porch of a house. And this mother sitting out there, you know, she's just sitting out there a little of nothing on the porch and just is smoking a square, and she just over there just blowing smoke all over the place and listening to that devil stuff. I'm going to tell you something, man. These kids ought to be coming. Why, they got a hard enough time as it is if you try to raise them for the Lord. And they ought to be hearing gospel come out or the Bible or pray with them. What I'm telling y'all is this generation, America has got a generation of children who know not the Lord. And you know what's happening? We're all suffering for it. I'm going to tell you, man, this generation's in a mess, man. And you know what's happening? Somebody's got to care enough to try to help them. And y'all, if we don't do something,
amen.
Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. If a kid's under our roof, guess what? I'm the one paying the bills here and you'll do what I say. Why? If you don't like it, get out and go somewhere else and you pay the bill and you see how hard it is. What I'm telling you is nowadays we're living in a generation where the whole house is run by a switch except the kids. You know, "Well, you crazy, child." I'm telling you right now, spare the rod and spoil the child. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say, the Bible don't say beat them. But so you got to have discipline somewhere. Y'all, these people nowadays, they can run off and shoot 3 or 4 folks and go to prison for a little while and have 3 meals a day and watch television all day and play video games and get on the weights and get an education, come out better whenever they get out as far as being able to do devilment than they were when they went in. What I'm telling you is the devil is corrupting the innocents, y'all. And that's what he does right there. We got to be, how do we help? We got to be the ones who helps them stay innocent. Help them stay little. Help them stay. Y'all, these kids ought to have a childhood. Y'all, they're exposed to so much stuff nowadays. The modern kid nowadays, you can get online. And I think it was Way of Life Ministries, maybe. But I got on there and I looked, and you can see the statistics that they did on a research. In the average child by the age of 10, he has seen over 15,000 murders a year. Through that devilment that's coming through. You know what? The prodigal had to go out in the faraway country to find the world. Nowadays, we just pipe it right in the home. Watch them get shot and everything else and blood go everywhere and all that stuff. And they see blood, blood, blood. And when you tell them about the blood of Jesus Christ, they've already seen so much bloodshed, it don't even matter to them anymore. When you tell them a man died on a cross 2,000 years ago and he was buried and he rose again the third day and you can trust him and him alone, they say there's no way. Why? Because they've heard that junk, their innocence has been corrupted.
Right.
Y'all, it's such a sad thing that goes on. Y'all, we've got to be the ones who tries to help these kids. Why? I'm telling you something, our youth is being destroyed. Being destroyed by that junk. I'm telling you, anybody ask me about that, I don't know why I'm on that rap music so much today. That stuff's of the devil.
It is.
It's of the devil. That boom, ba ba boom, ba ba boom, ba ba boom. Y'all, I'm telling you something. That stuff is, it just, I wouldn't ride around. They put the speakers in their trunk so everybody else could hear it. Well, they can't keep their pants up, and they come in and say, "Well, can I have a job?" No, you can't keep your pants up, much less a job. And people, how can I take a man serious that can't keep himself right? My, these kids are in trouble, man. Now, not only that, he destroys or turns innocent into sinners. He denies God's severity. He says, "Ye shall not surely die." Y'all, it's severe. It's severe. You know what? I had a man tell me, he said, hell really don't have fire in it. I just laughed. I said, man, the Bible says fire, fire, fire over and over and over. And so, well, it's just, you know, just a bad place. I'm going to tell you something. It's so bad, you don't want your worst enemy to go there. This preacher don't have the oratory to tell you how bad hell will be. People say it's separation from God. The psalm said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Let me tell you something. God's omnipresent. He can see everything everywhere. Let me tell you something. It's going to be painful. It's going to be torment. You don't want anybody to go. The devil said, you shall not surely die. You know what he's saying? He's saying the consequences of your sin aren't going to happen now. You know what you're going to find out? They did end up dying, didn't they? You know what happens when you sin? You may not see the consequences now. It may take years for it to show up. Just like they didn't die to 900 years later. You know what you got to find out? Go to God now. Amen. You know what I'm trying to tell you is this, right? If you sin, run to God now so He can help you. Why? Because if you don't, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get worse and it's going to get worse and your heart's going to get hard. The Lord can help you if you'll come to Him.
Amen.
You know what happens? People say, you should not surely. That's really not that bad. God's really not going to do anything about it. I'm going to tell you something. He'll do something about it.
Amen.
And He'll do it in His time. And you know what He's doing? Don't mistake His kindness for weakness. He's giving you space to repent. He's giving you time to get it right. Why? You'd rather get it right than have to make Him make you get it right. You know what? Amen. They deny His severity. And not only that, but He doesn't have the language of a servant. I marked down in my Bible over here, and you don't have to go there, but you can look. It says, Lord God, in Genesis 2, 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 15, 16, 18, 19, 21, 22, and 3, 1. It says, in the Lord God. And you know what Satan does? He says, and God said. He left off the Lord part, didn't he? You know what? The Bible says in Luke 6, 26 or 46, one, I forget which. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know what the attitude of a servant is? Lord, I want what you want. The Lord said, not my will be done, but thine be done. You know what we got to get? If you really want the Lord's will done in your life, you got to get the word. You're at the point where you'd rather see the Lord be pleased in your life than your own self be pleased.
Amen.
I'd like to see every one of you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Why? It's nothing like it. Y'all, it's nothing like having the joy of the Lord, but it's nothing like not having the joy of the Lord. Both of them. I'd like to see you have the joy of the Lord, but you can't talk like Satan did and have it. He said, God said. He just flipping about, just God. No, He's the Lord God. He's the Lord. He's my Lord and Savior. See, a lot of people, well, He's just Savior. No, He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You got to make sure you put that in there. Why? He tells me what to do. I don't tell Him what to do.
That's right.
Anytime I start saying, no, my will be done, guess what? I fall down every time. Well, I don't know where I'm going. And you don't know where you're going. You're not going to find out where to go unless you walk by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last thing I want to say is this right here. He gives you your desires. Verse number 7. Verse number 7, it says, He told them, He said, if you eat it, your eyes will be open. Let me tell you something. Their eyes got opened. They did. He's playing on their pride. The devil said, you'll get knowledge. You know what happened? They got knowledge. The devil said, you get your eyes open. They got their eyes open. You know who opens eyes? The Bible said in Luke 24, those two that were walking with Him, and their eyes were opened. The devil, see, gets you to get your eyes open his way. You know what this world wants to do? This world wants you to go by its knowledge. The world wants you to Google up things instead of getting in the Word of God and going to God for things. The world wants you to go by a psychologist instead of the great physician. The world wants you to go by all the things that bring you immediate pleasure instead of the Lord. Let me tell you something. By the Lord, there's pleasure forevermore. You can have happiness right there by you if you'll do it by the Lord will let it be pure and right. But if you don't do it God's way, I'm going to tell you something there. It's going to be a mess. Why? The way of transgressors is hard. It's hard. People say, well, you got a hard way to go. I'm telling you, you got a hard way to go. If you don't go by the God's way, He'll play on your pride. Now, I'm going to say this in just about closing anyway. I want you to say this or look at this. He says, ye and your and you all these things. He's talking about them. And all. He said, your eyes will be open and things like that. Ye shall not surely die. He's talking about them all the time. You know what you've got nowadays? You got people nowadays who are going off their pride, and their pride is going to be their destruction. Now, I got an illustration. My favorite one is this right here. There was a frog that made friends with two ducks. And they got to be real good friends. And the duck said, "Hey, we're about to migrate. We want to carry you with us. You got any ideas on how we could carry you?" They went over a couple things. The frog said, "I got the perfect idea." He said, "One of you hold this stick in your mouth, and the other one hold this stick like this, and I'll grab a hold of this stick with my mouth, and then y'all can just fly with me in the middle going down through here." And man, sure enough, they said, "That'll work." So that frog grabbed a hold of that stick, and those two ducks are just flying all through there like this. And a farmer looks up there and says, "Wow." He said, "That's the neatest thing. Those two ducks are carrying that frog on that stick. Wonder whose idea that was." And the frog said, "Mine." Like that right there. Now, you know what happens? The devil will get you just like that with your pride. The devil will stick you, man. Why? Because as soon as you think you've got it figured out, you'll fall. Now, here's the next thing here. He'll fool you by giving your desires by being positive. Positive. This world just loves positive thinking. And guess what happens there? Thinking it is not good enough. They say, well, you can blab it and grab it nowadays. They don't say, that's what I say. But they say, well, if you think it, it's so. That's the biggest pile of nonsense I've ever heard. I got a few things here that I wanted to. I got some quotes out of this devil pastor. He's not a real pastor, but he's got a book called The Power of I Am. And y'all, that's blasphemy. I mean, the power of I am. God is I am. He says, if you'll just say, I am blessed, you'll be blessed. I am well able, you'll be well able. I am successful, and you'll be successful. I am victorious. I am talented. I am creative. And watch this. I am wise. I am healthy. Crazy person. It says, I am in shape. You imagine this. You imagine a 400 pounder over here like, I am in shape. Y'all, the power of I am. You know what's happened? This world lost their mind. Amen. It's worldwide because they think if they just say it, it's going to happen for them. Let me tell you something. If you don't put the work in, it's not going to be any good. Right. This world is wanting something for nothing. What I'm telling you is the only thing you're going to get free is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Everything else, guess what happened? You got to work for it. You want something? You want a nice car? You got to work for it. You want a house? You got to work for it. You want your bills paid? You got to work for it. Why? Because after you're saved, you're called to do good works. And y'all, you know what? You got a generation now. I just say it now. My. You think this generation isn't losing their mind? They're reading junk like this right here instead of the Bible. That's not in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have a place to lay his head. I guess he should have thought about the power of I am. He was I am. Or he is I am. He didn't say that. The Apostle Paul, he didn't have anywhere to go. All the Apostle Paul did, he had to carry a doctor around everywhere he went. And he didn't have this stuff. What I'm telling y'all is this. We got to get to the place where our feelings don't go before the facts. Some days you're not going to feel good.
That's right.
And you don't have to make out like you feel great if you don't feel good. Just say, hey, today I don't feel too good. That's all it is.
That's
just
right.
Be who you are. Let the Lord work in and through you. People will understand that. Why? We've all got days we feel bad. But you know what? When we start going by our feelings and say, well, it must not be a great day because I don't feel good. You'll get in a bad place. Some of my greatest days have been the days I didn't feel too good and I got encouragement from somebody else. I wouldn't have got the encouragement had I felt great that day. What I'm telling you is a lot of times God will use those bad times to draw you close to your real friends.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to find out? The one who really loves you no matter what. Somebody who really loves you in the mornings when you don't have your makeup on. Yeah. Loves you in the mornings whenever you don't smell too great and things like that. Why? They love you all the time. Thank God he loves me when I'm unlovable. Y'all, I want to tell you this. You got a risen Savior that's opposite the devil.
Amen.
Now, in closing, I'll give you a few things that the Lord's opposite. And you got to find all these things in the Lord. Number one, he's not deceptive. He is the truth. The Lord said, in secret have I said nothing in John chapter number 18, verse 20. The devil don't make you have to come around and have to do all these things to find wisdom. The devil. Y'all know what I meant. The Lord will give it to you straight. He said, in secret, have I said nothing? He'll just give it right to you if you'll come to him. He don't have to do things like the devil wants you to do to get the wisdom of the Lord. The Bible said you'll ask for it, he'll give it to you. Man, I wish people would get that. Why? Because we all need wisdom. Man, this world is trying to fool you. You need the wisdom of God today. Here's another thing. He builds up.
Yes,
the Bible said the Word of God is able to build you up. Acts 20, verse 32. I'm going to tell you this, every one of you. If you're talking about a revival, we don't even have to say we had a revival to have a revival. If you will go home tonight and start reading your Bible every day. I'm not telling you how much to read it. Sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time. But if you got time to watch that TV, you got time to read your Bible. Now I'm telling you, if you'll read that Bible and you'll pray with one another, it'll build you up. It's that simple. God has got that thing that simple. You say, will it really work? It'll work. It will work. You try me if you don't believe it. And if it ain't working in a week, you say, well, Brother Chase was wrong, but I know it'll work. It'll build you up. He don't tear you down. Here's the last thing. Last thing is this right here. He gives knowledge by revelation. By revelation. There's some things that you need to know that you're only going to know if you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need you to help me. And yes, guess what happens? The Lord will help you. He'll set your feet on a rock because He is the rock, and you won't sink. You may shake on the rock, but you're not going to sink. Why? Because on a solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Won't you come to Him? Won't you come to the Lord? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we sure do love You. We sure do need You.